Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. Today's guest is Tara. Tara created her blog, course, and online community, Losses Become Gains, after losing both of her parents to cancer within 6 months of each other, followed by her fur baby less than a year later. As an only child, it was an incredibly difficult time in her life. She felt lost, confused, isolated, deeply hurt, and grieving. It almost was impossible to see how she could come out of this deep despair and do life without them. But after a lot of time, healing, and self-development, losses became gains, came to fruition. Her mission is to help fellow grievers and those who have been through loss that are struggling to find gains from their losses. This means a more beautiful, peaceful, meaningful, and fulfilling life after loss. And thank you so much for being here today, Tara. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I would love for you to dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, sure. So really my journey with loss, you know, up until about 2019, I really hadn't experienced a lot of very deep loss. I lost my grandmother around the age of 10. I lost a cousin in a really tragic car accident. I lost my grandfather, who I had a complicated relationship with, but I think because I was so young when some of these things happened, I didn't totally understand grief at the time, and I just processed it very differently. And I guess I grieved in my own, you know, younger self way. But really, my journey began in 2019. So my mom had suffered from with GERD for really years. I mean, she had had digestive problems for a long time during her life. And it just kind of started to get progressively worse, but she was not really a fan of Western medicine. So she, you know, was kind of trying to cope with that in other ways. And eventually just kind of got to a point where it really started to affect the way that she was able to eat and keep food down. And I'll leave it at that. But eventually it got to the point, I mean, there was really like two very pivotal traumatizing moments in my life that I can think of. One was at a restaurant with her, and she just like could not keep food down and was sort of choking on it. And I, you know, it's just those moments where I was like, okay, this is like really serious. And then this really culminated in a day where I was actually going to a dinner with my then boyfriend, now husband, and my dad called me, and he was like, you know, mom just came into the living room. She can't breathe. We're going to the ER. Just want to let you know. And not that casually, but you know,
yeah.
And so I'm at this restaurant and I am crying in this lobby. I'm like, how am I supposed to just go to this dinner and be okay now? But you know, from then on, that I just remember that night so vividly, and it really just shifted and took a really serious turn from there. So I can't even quite remember how long after that she was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, but that was the next step. It was around May or June she was diagnosed. And so she had esophageal cancer and a 10-inch tumor. And mind you, she was only like 5 feet tall. So for her little frame, that was, you know, very scary. And that was growing into her airway. So she, you know, we did treatment. She did chemo. She did, you know, a lot of other things. And ultimately, nothing really worked. It was just one of those things that it was caught too late. So from diagnosis to passing, she passed December 9th of 2019. Mm-hmm. Throughout that process, she also had to go through a tracheotomy as well. So, and it was very last minute. And that was also another very traumatizing part of this process, is that was decided very last minute. They were supposed to just put in like another stent in her airway to help her breathing, but they were just like, this is getting so bad that we have to take more drastic action. And I never heard her speak after that. And we had hoped for so long that she would be able to talk again, and that, you know, it would get better. And it never did. So, you know, it's like so many women out there, your mom is your best friend, you know? And it's like, I realize how fortunate I am though, to have had that relationship with my mom to even be able to say that. And so I always acknowledge that a lot in the work that I do, but it was profoundly difficult, obviously losing her and just watching that whole decline. I mean, it's so funny, depending on who I ask, some people are like, oh, that was pretty quick, or oh gosh, that probably felt forever. So I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, the day she died, it was like 3:27 a.m. I think it was. And I was there with her alone in the ICU. And I was there with her when she passed. And I can't even tell you what I was thinking at the time. I think I was so numb and in shock and, you know, world just crashing around me. Right. And so from there, and just to give a little more context, my father actually during this entire time had prostate cancer as well. So he was diagnosed probably like 5 or 6 years prior to my mom having this whole diagnosis and passing. So he had journeyed through it quite a while. And he definitely had a very up and down journey with it as well, as far as treatment, you know, having his good months, his bad months, his good years, his bad years. He kept working. He was a fabulous criminal defense attorney. And I don't know how he did it. I truly don't. Like, looking back, both of my parents were just incredibly resilient. So I learn a lot from them, and I credit both of them a lot with so much of myself. But, you know, after my mom died, he was not the same, to say the least. Not that any of us really were, but, you know, I could just tell. I mean, they had been married, I think, over 35 years at that point, and he just did not know how to do life without her. I think he was very scared to have like just me. I think he was just like lost without her. He's just like, you know, even though I was grown at this point, you know, I was like 27, 28, but you know, he just felt very, very alone. I came to find out later that as his prostate cancer metastasized into his back and into his brain, there was one night where, very long story short, within the 6 months after my mom died, I had to call the ambulance for him a couple times. And the second time that happened, that very night, I had just gone through a breakup like 2 hours before. So I like went from our apartment that I shared with that individual, who's now my husband. Very long story, man.
I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
Now we're gonna have to backtrack. I know, this is a lot. Yeah, it was a horrible few months, let me just tell you. See, losses, right? Yeah. So anyway, so that evening, breakup happened. I go, but it's a blessing, because I go to my dad's condo, which we actually live in now, and I found him just like very dehydrated, almost catatonic. And I was like, oh, you know, looking back now, I'm like, oh my God, if I had not come over on this particular night, I mean, I'm not saying he would have died that night, but I just, you know, I'm so thankful that somehow and by some weird, you know, twist of fate, I ended up there and could get him the help that he really needed, because he declined very quickly. So after that, he was just in the hospital for a while, eventually went to a hospice adjacent kind of facility. And roughly 6 months after my mom died, I lost my dad. It just, his cancer had just spread. And it was also very humbling, because I was speaking to a nurse at one point, and you know, she was just like, you know, he's very depressed and very, you know, and all of these things, where I'm like, I had no idea. I didn't know what the signs were, and kind of just painfully naive. Like I hadn't experienced a lot of this in my life, frankly. I, you know, just, I'll fully admit that, to where I didn't even like know what to look for. Or I was just like, oh, it just must be, you know, he's just sad over mom, or, you know what I mean? Like almost, again, just sort of naive to the whole thing. And so, yeah, so that he died July 13th of 2020. So also this was, you know, during the pandemic, and being able to visit him was nearly impossible. And there were times where I had to go visit him and talk to him like literally through a window, and I was outside. I mean, it was like otherworldly. I just, so many times was like, how is this my life? You know? And yeah, so he passed. So then I was still going through this breakup, and you know, we can dig more into this or not, but eventually we did reunite, and that's a whole nother layer of these losses that I experienced. But really what got me to where I am now and what got me to creating Losses Become Gains is, and this took a while. I mean, this took probably a good year and a half, and also losing my 19-year-old fur baby, my poor dog, in July of 2021. So it was literally my entire immediate family within, you know, 2.5 years, because I considered her the sister I never had. Being an only child. And, you know, just got to a point where I found that, you know, of course, while I was grieving, and I certainly had my moments and my sad days, that I was doing okay. And I was actually functioning pretty well. And I was, but I did a lot of work and a lot of self-healing and self-development and self, you know, sounds so cliche, but self-discovery to get to that point. And I was speaking with someone once and I was like, you know, I just feel like this all not happened for a reason. I don't want to be some cliche and be like, oh, everything happens for a reason. But it was more that I was like, I feel like I need to do more with this. I can't just like sit on this information. And I felt like a big pull to create something for, you know, from all of this, if not in my parents' honor, just, you know, something was just really gnawing at me. I almost like can't explain it. And for me, I love writing. I've always been a writer. I was almost going to be in journalism at one point. And so for me, I had tried to start a blog actually a couple of times. Really, I never resonated with it. I never felt like the subject was right. So when I thought of Losses Become Gains in my mind, I was like, and you know, what I want this to look like, that was a really natural first step. So throughout a lot of like early to mid last year, I started writing and creating these blog posts and officially put that out into the world November, and started my online community, which is mostly on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, just sharing that content with the world and, you know, not even in a way of like, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. It's more just like, yeah. You know, I just want to share my experience, my knowledge, you know, sort of in like a take it or leave it way, but really I didn't want to just make it about me and my experience. I was like, I can do more than just that. And, you know, really share coping tools and guidance that really resonated with me. And I truly believe could, you know, help other grievers. So I launched that. And then from there was even more, you know, wrapped up in this grief space and ended up becoming a certified grief coach as well. So that was very early this year that I finish that certification. And so that's just really amped up sort of everything I'm doing and sharing and putting out into the world.
Well, I so appreciate you just being so transparent with your journey, because it sounds like it's been a lot, and no one can ever know the true grief that somebody goes through, because we all process it differently and it looks different. And what you're saying, you don't know the signs of, well, I'm going through this. So like, this is just part of the process. But I think just from a lot of individuals that I've counseled on grief in general, like years ago, no two people are the same and no process is the same, but having the coping skills, having knowledge about it, knowing they're not alone, it just gives permission hearing somebody else's story of what they went through, knowing that you're not alone. Like you can process it differently, but knowing that we all look at it different, especially as young children, like we don't always know how a child's processing it versus as an adult. Even adults struggle. Like everybody struggles with it in a different capacity. What you see is different, but how it's internalized is different too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things where you'll never hear me say, and this is like one of those, I feel like taboo things, like don't say to a griever is like, I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're going through. We can absolutely empathize. Like, you know, I've met so many wonderful people through the Losses Become Gains community and just connecting with other grievers. And, you know, there's countless people that have lost parents or even both parents that are roughly around my age, which was very humbling meeting other people in that particular boat. But, you know, again, to your point, we each have our own journey with it. We each had our different relationships with the people that we've lost. And so it's a very to each their own kind of, you know, situation. So I think it's just so important, like never presuming that we know quite what someone is going through. And it's always, you know, I'm constantly having to really take, and it's a little painful sometimes, but constantly having to take myself back to those early days of grief, especially when I see, you know, some comments or, you know, messages from people that are like, you know, this just happened 2 weeks ago. And I am like, and I'm like, oh my God, I remember being exactly where that is. Cause it's really easy to sit here, you know, 2-3 years out and say like, yep, that's tough. You know, I want to dig deeper than that. And that does require, you know, revisiting some of those traumatic memories occasionally, but you know, that's what helps that human connection a little bit more, as opposed to just being like, you know, so sorry for your loss, you know, which yeah. is a valid thing to say, but it's just, you know, it's grief is just one of those really tricky topics that I know a lot of people are still a little uncomfortable with, which understandably so, but.
I'm glad we're talking about it so people can have a little bit more of a clear lens when they're talking to somebody who is grieving or they're grieving themselves. I'm curious, just when you were speaking about it, it popped in my head, but how have you been able to maneuver just everything you've gone through and the grief you've experienced with now working as a coach with individuals that are grieving?
Yeah, I think it's just so much of it comes down to just honoring what is in front of you right now and not comparing journeys. Or, you know, one of those biggest misconceptions is people feeling like, you know, I'm not doing it right, or I'm not grieving fast enough. And so many layers of society contribute to that, right? From having to go back to work. I just recently posted a blog post about this and how difficult that is to, you know, at least in the US, we might get like 5 or 7 days, right, off for bereavement. And we're like, that is not nearly enough. Try 5 to 7 years. Or
yeah. Exactly.
Process the shock I'm going through right now, and the just the societal pressures, either from work or just other people who simply either, you know, maybe haven't experienced loss at all, or a deep loss, or frankly, even if they have, I've certainly experienced this where they've maybe also lost a parent or whatever, but maybe they're far removed from it now, or they just grieve differently and are kind of. I've had people say to me, you know, family, friends, people very close, like, can you kind of move on now? Like, it's okay. You can let it go. And I'm like, but this is my process. And that, so that's what I really encourage. And my approach is really allowing yourself to grow around your grief and not, you know, just this concept of like, there's maybe no overcoming it. It's working through it. And that is kind of always going to be your journey in life now, because there's so many different phases of life that we'll have to journey through without our loved ones, whoever they are. And it doesn't have to be like immediate family, right? You know, it could be, you know, just a dear friend that you lost as well. For me, one of the things I definitely have had to cope with was, you know, getting married without both of my parents. I got married last year. They'll never, you know, God willing, if we have kids, they won't meet my children. And that is, they're all things that, you know, even though my losses technically happened, you know, 2 to 3 years ago, those are always kind of like these new little acute losses, I guess, that you just are constantly having to work through. And that is a lifelong journey. But my approach, again, is just making people very comfortable with their grief, I guess, in a way, or yeah. just really making it a part of their everyday and whatever that looks like for them. So whether it's, you know, just one thing I love to suggest is a great, you know, routine that you love, and, you know, leaving room for spontaneity in there. But I guess I mean more like, you know, a great morning routine could be, one thing I do is I journal a little bit and I write down 3 things I'm grateful for that day, or you know, 3 things I'm looking forward to that day, or like a morning mantra or something like that, just to, you know, start your day on a higher note. And I know that's so hard for grievers to even, you know, be like, there is nothing positive in my life right now. I am not grateful for one thing. Get out of here with this whole grief and positivity, you know, toxic positivity, or yeah. you're spewing here, Tara. And I'm like, I get it. I know it's, you know, especially in like that phase of acute grief, it's kind of the last thing you want to hear sometimes. But mm-hmm. my thing is always just, it's a slow process. It's slowly working it in. That is not meant to happen overnight. It's just trying little things each and every day that just, you know, to use Marie Kondo, the spark joy, you know, yeah. mm-hmm. and whatever that is for you, if it's like a little cup of tea in the morning, or like for me, it's my morning coffee, and, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is that you can do maybe to wind down at night. You know, I know sleeping is a big struggle for a lot of grievers, either not being able to sleep or you know, on the other hand, sleeping a lot. And I've experienced both. So, you know, so many of the blog posts are right. And I have a course as well, which we could talk about, but I also address that in there as well, as, you know, those are all things that you don't even maybe think of when you lose something or someone, but that can all be, you know, amidst those secondary losses that we have to journey through. So it's really just taking that individualized approach and just figuring out, like, what, you know, just what works for each person.
Yeah, no. And I was even thinking when you were saying too, when we first started, was about like moving around it, like being able to handle like what's going on. And the image that popped in my head, I don't know if you've seen it, maybe you have, but it's like a jar and it has like this ball, I think, in it or something. It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
I feel like I might keep going.
Okay. So it's like the jar gets a little bit bigger, so there's more space to put other things in it, and you're able to handle it in a different way. Because I always say too, it's like the pain never goes away. You just learn how to navigate it. And that's what I thought of when you were talking about it too, of being able to move around what that grief is that you're experiencing, because everybody does experience it differently. But I love too the fact that you put in that routine aspect. I think that's so key of moving forward. You're not forgetting, but obviously you can speak way more to this because that is your expertise. But I think too, it's just understanding it's those normal things that we do every day that we might take for granted. And that's what I keep hearing as well. I'm curious, because I know you said you had a course, and I know everybody's different. Everybody experiences grief differently, handles it differently, but I would love to know more about your course.
Yeah. So the course, I mean, I love connecting with people one-on-one. Absolutely love it. But the course really like came to me after I finished my certification. And I was like, I want to be able to help more people. And I know some people, and frankly, because I was also kind of one of them, I did do therapy and I absolutely loved it. So not to knock therapy at all. This course can be like in conjunction with therapy, or if maybe therapy is not your thing, it's a great thing to try. It was really more like I wanted to just put something out into the world where people can do it on their own terms. And there's so many layers to this. One, I know how busy people are, and, you know, especially like parents. I'm not a parent yet myself, but I can only imagine how difficult it can be to cope with everyday life, just trying to get a grasp on your own grief, but then also maybe, you know, having a partner or potentially having children or work or any other distractions where, you know, maybe it's hard to prioritize that grief work. And I just wanted to approach it in a way where I can serve something that is jam-packed with, you know, guidance and coaching that you are, you know, seeing in video straight from me to you. It's just not in person at the moment. And also, you know, has meditations in there, and it has this, you know, toolkit that's over 100 pages of exercises and, you know, guidance and inspiration and all the things that aligns with all of the modules. And it really is just intended to give grievers a way to, you know, cope with their grief on their terms. And my biggest thing is I just want people to feel empowered. It's so hard to feel empowered when you've lost so much. And it's really about like taking your life back a little bit. And because I just see and hear from so many people, like, I feel so overwhelmed. I feel very lost and alone, and like nobody understands me. And all of those things are so valid. And so this course was really to try and help as many people with that as possible to, you know, try and not, you know, maybe solve all of those things, but to help resolve that. And again, it's that integration of grief into your life. And we, you know, go over so many different facets of grief and what it is. And one of my favorite modules in the course is understanding what is going on in your brain as you're grieving too. It was not something I ever knew. I could not understand maybe why I couldn't like move past certain things, or, you know, why when we are so deeply connected with a person, why it can sometimes take so long. And there's so many aspects, almost like scientifically, that, you know, the brain has to go through to comprehend what has happened. And so it's so interesting understanding, you know, the science behind that, I guess, for lack of a better term, to really be like, oh, so this is what's happening. Okay, this is why I need to give myself a chance. And this is why I need to give myself grace and time to, you know, allow this process to happen and not feel rushed to, you know, work through it. Because if, and that's another thing too, if people are just kind of, you always hear, you know, just grief takes time. You just got to get used to it. And like, I hate saying that. I hate hearing it. It's like the last thing that griefers probably want to hear, but there is definitely an element of, yeah, it does take time, but there's reasons for that. And that's what I kind of get into in that course. And, you know, what is going on in the brain as it is learning how to do life again without, you know, who or what we've lost. And that is definitely a journey. But again, it's more of people are kind of just biding their time and just hoping time alone is going to help. I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's all about the grief work and just taking those baby steps. And that's what I love about the course is people can do that, you know, on their own time. And once they have the course, you have it for life. So like those little kind of follow-up griefs that we sometimes have to, you know, cope with. So like we might have like our major loss, but then all of the little secondary losses after that are things that we kind of like re-grieve or something, or God forbid we suffer another loss. Like this is why this course is here. It's just to always be your sort of little, you know, sidekick in your back pocket when you need a little extra, you know, grief support.
I love that. I think too, it's having that support, like you said, but it's also being able to revisit it because things do pop up, triggers happen where like major events in our life that person's not there or people aren't there, and understanding too, it's difficult and everybody views it differently, experiences it, or it hits a little harder or softer in certain areas. But I think to your point, I love that the course is very, it sounds like it's very self-paced of just what works best for them. So even though it's one course, it hits every target that is necessary in that process of grief. So, and everybody who is grieving can benefit from it in when they're ready to do the work. But what you said, I think is so important. Of it's like time can heal, yes, but if you're doing the work, it helps rebuild that. It's that muscle in the brain of just like those triggers that are happening. And it's really about understanding the concept of what you've went through, but how you can continue to move forward, even though you have this pain still there. It's not going to go away, but how you are able to navigate that and having the resources, having tools to help you through that journey, because it's going to hit different on month 1 versus maybe month 6 versus like 2 years from now and so forth. But like what you said, I don't think it's talked about enough of the like the major loss we have, but then the secondary losses. I don't think we really focus on that because I like what you're saying too, it's all those like events, those milestones, like really big important things too that we want them there for, and they're not there maybe physically, maybe if you believe in spiritually and things along those lines. And I mean, that's another time for another day, but I think too, it's just recognizing that life is going to be different, but how do you live life once that person isn't physically there anymore?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Yeah. And really the whole, you know, the whole point of the course, and I preach this all the time, is, you know, I just want people to know and understand that they can go from just kind of feeling like they're just surviving, just barely. I get this comment so often. I feel like I'm just treading water. I feel like I'm barely getting by. I am so scared for the other shoe to drop or another loss. And I feel just like kind of unhinged and uneasy with the whole thing. And so this course really, you know, so many people will be like, Tara, I know what grief is. I'm going through it right now. And I'm like, I promise you, there's so much more to it than that you can dig into. And again, just understand exactly what's going on better and understand the type of grief that you have. Cause there's, I mean, I think there's like over 15 or something. And I get into all of that. And each one of those might need something a little different, or they might need to be treated a little bit differently. But there are absolutely things that a lot of us go through. And I love that you mentioned triggers. That is a massive topic that I talk about, both just like in my blog, in this course, and just like, you know, online, because, you know, they're brutal. Those grief waves and those like grief bursts that we have, I get all into that and how to handle those. And I give a lot of coping tools and, you know, resources on how to handle those, because I think that scares people. I've definitely had people say like, I feel like I can't even go to the grocery store because like, maybe that's where I went with that particular person and I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. And you know, it was just so valid. I mean, and those things are a normal and very natural part of life and this whole process. And so it's really just, again, it's taking those step by step. And my goal and what I just want to help fellow grievers with, or any, you know, coaching clients that I have, is not only just having a life, but a really big, beautiful, vibrant, happy life. Because I think so many people just feel like once this particular person is gone, like, that's it. Life will, I mean, sure, life might not ever be the same, but there's so much that we sometimes attach to our loved ones. So when they are gone, we certainly can feel like we have lost a piece of ourselves. And there's the whole science behind that, that I also get into. And, you know, we feel like we're missing a limb, but, you know, there's so much gratitude and there's so many beautiful things that we can tap into when we open our minds to it. And that's all I want to get people to, is just that cusp of open-mindedness, because once you get there, you're like, it is life-changing. You're like, oh, okay, I can breathe again. I can rest a little easier. I'm learning the tools how, and you're more excited and you're more inspired and motivated to put those into practice in your own life. Like, it's just, there's this, like, this little hump I feel like we have to sometimes get over. And yeah, I mean, if you're really early in your grief, that it might be too early, and that's understandable, but that is the beauty of this course in particular, at least, is it, you know, can take you literally from day one, you know, all the way through. Well, there really is no end. There's, because it's ever, ever evolving, just like we are, and just like our grief is. So, yeah, it really takes you through a lot of different stages.
No, I love that. It's like full encompassing too, because like a lot of people don't even realize what's happened in the moment or the shock factor. Maybe day one, they're already ready to grieve and start that process. I mean, they're grieving, obviously, but I think too, it's like sometimes grief doesn't hit you till like a year later, 2 years later, even if it's a significant loss. Like sometimes it's just the brain can't register what's happened, or you've put it on the shelf, or like what you're talking about too. Like, I'm not a parent yet, but sometimes you have so many other responsibilities happening at that moment, and you're a parent and you have like moving factors. You don't have time to even process what's happened because you have to move forward.
Yes, 100%. I went through that definitely with both of my parents, because really, like, my mom, you know, died. And then like a month or two later, my dad started declining, and that's when his cancer started spreading. And I remember this moment where I was like, I am losing another parent. Oh my God, like, this is actually happening. And I could not even, you know, like, I couldn't grieve my mom yet, because now I had another parent in front of me who needed my attention. So yeah. So, I mean, once July hit and dad was gone, I remember I was like, the morning he died, and they passed 5 minutes apart. It was very strange. Like, my mom at 3:27 a.m., dad at 3:23. I was like, there's something about this 3 o'clock witching hour that, like, very prevalent in my family for some reason. But I remember, you know, of course I didn't sleep the rest of that night. And so I remember like watching the sunrise that morning, and I was like sitting on my couch, looking outside my patio, you know, and it was like the most peaceful, eerily peaceful morning you could possibly imagine. And I was like too cried out at that point. And I was like, what now? I am terrified. I still need my parents. I still need, you know, or whoever this is for us. It, you know, it's so difficult trying to grapple without their presence in our life. And that is very difficult to navigate. And yeah, so anything I ever put out there is really to help with that process. But yeah, that cumulative grief is where I was going with this, is, is really brutal. And it can, like you said, it can hit however, you know, long after. Yeah, grief is ruthless.
It is. There is no mercy in it. But I think, like, understanding too that there is something out there like your course to help people no matter where they are in that journey, and they can start whenever they're ready. And sometimes it's you start before you're ready and realize, okay, maybe I need, like, it sounds like it's self-paced too. So you can take those breaks. You don't have to just go through the whole thing right away. It's being able to what serves you at that moment too, and what's going to be beneficial is what I hear.
That is absolutely, that is how it is. And you can, and what's One of the reasons I wanted to design the course like this is you can jump around. There's an entire module, for example, on, you know, coping with holidays or anniversaries or major life events without them. So I give you, you know, we go through why and how that is so difficult and how to cope with that and how to honor them. More importantly, you know, just to keep their memory alive, because I know so many people out there sort of feel like people forget. Or I had someone message me recently. It was so sad. They were like, I'm the only, it's to the point where I'm the only one that remembered their wedding anniversary this year. And I was like, oh, I know how that feels. Like, you know, there's sort of, sometimes we feel like we're the only person sort of keeping that torch alive, and that's very isolating and that can be very lonely. So there's support to be had with that. So there's a lot of different, you know, I really wanted to go like beyond the basics here and really dig deep into some of these things that, again, are just, you know, lifelong things that we might have to, you know, cope with. And then, but another aspect of this course that I definitely want to mention is there is a monthly group coaching call that also comes with it. So as much as it is done virtually, you know, people can absolutely connect with me one-on-one through here. You know, there is, I do make myself available to them. And then, you know, because grief can be very lonely and isolating, and I think it's so important to have that group aspect of it. So that was a really big, you know, priority for me, is to be able to connect people with people one-on-one, but also to maybe connect with each other a little bit too. And I mean, I've met so many amazing people that I never would have met otherwise had I not put myself out there, and started with my healing journey, but also, you know, kind of sought that out, you know, the just sharing journeys with other people, you know, and that can take some time to work up to, for sure. But that is definitely a component of the course, and all of that they, you know, get for life. The second you buy it, it's theirs. So that, you know, one-on-one coaching with me doesn't go away either. So.
No, that's important. And you're right. A lot of people might not be ready to do a group aspect, but being able to have that one-on-one too, of being able to start that process. And I think groups are so powerful, because you might not be ready to talk, but then hearing somebody else in that same space of what they're going through, and you're like, I can resonate with that, or that, like, that's how I'm feeling. Maybe not the same exact situation, but feelings are very universal as well. How we experience them are different, but they are all 100% valid. What you've been saying, what I've experienced in running groups too. But I think I love that you have that component, so it can be very diverse of where they're at as well. And I'm sure just even like building the course, I'm curious, were there any obstacles that you faced as you were building this course, working with clients one-on-one as well? How has that been for you?
Yeah. The course building. So I'm kind of like getting into coaching people one-on-one. So I'll speak about the course, at least for right now.
Yeah.
The time, I think I underestimated. It's the first course I ever built. So I thoroughly enjoyed the process. I have to start by saying that, even though it, you know, it was certainly time consuming and all the things. And it just, you know, it takes a little bit of time to figure out just the process. So, you know, writing sort of what I wanted to say, but also I wanted to show up very authentically. So I was really cognizant of, you know, even if I maybe had certain points I definitely wanted to hit on, I wanted to allow flow in this course as well. And whatever, you know, sort of came to me to say in that particular module, if something, you know, was felt impactful to say in the moment. And yeah, I mean, really just I wanted to just make sure I felt like I was hitting on everything grievers could possibly need, which is a lot. So I think that was, you know, definitely the biggest obstacle, at least at first. I was like, where to even start? And how do I feel like I'm not leaving anything out? And I definitely, there was so much thought and, you know, love that went into that. And I have no doubt people will feel that as well, that the bases are well covered. And you know, just just the technical aspect of it too, really, you know, just from like entrepreneurial side of things, figuring out all the recordings and getting it all set up on the platform that I host the course on, getting in a good groove of like, going to record now, am I editing, and just all the little like nitty gritty things. And also doing that while working full-time. I also have a full-time job on top of all of this that I do. So, you know, good old work-life balance. That was the biggest aspect, I think, for me, truthfully. Well, this was always a huge priority. So there was never a weekend or evening that it was not being worked on, but it brought so much joy truly to like be able to do this. So despite any customer service I had to reach out to, because I'm like, hey, I'm not understanding how this is supposed to go or whatever it was worth every second. But just a lot of, as one of my old managers used to say, using the University of Google to figure out.
Google is your best friend.
It has become my very best friend. Yeah.
No, I appreciate you saying that too, about like being able to create this course while working full time. How has that been? I know you said like nights and weekends you were working on the course, but how have you integrated working full time still while building your business?
Yeah, it has been, it's been a process, and really more emotionally, because I am so deeply connected and you know, just to my grief education and to grief advocacy. And that is really where my heart and my soul lies. I truly believe it is what I am meant to be doing. So it is, you know, finding that push pull between still working my full-time job and very much enjoying that. It's really fun. I work in digital marketing. So truthfully, that has absolutely 1000% helped with everything that I do for Losses Become Gains as well. I am very fortunate that I happen to work in that industry, even though it's in a different industry technically. It has really, you know, I almost don't know how some people do it without a little marketing background. It's just, for me, I mean, I literally have two planners. It's just, it's all those cliche things. It just comes down to time management, prioritizing, you know, what needs to get done on any particular day, where I might feel like, oh, I really need to get those social posts done and, or whatever it is. And just understanding, like, you know, no one's putting the pressure on me that I'm putting on myself, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, and I do that all the time, and I am the overthinking queen. And so it's just a balance. Just want to do so many things. And, but I just have to breathe. One of my many coping tools, breathe and take a step back and know that it is a process. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. Destination is in the distance. I'm working towards it. The prioritization, being really real, really realistic with what I can get done in a day, while also allowing time to go outside and get some fresh air and take my daily walk that I like live and die by, making sure I spend time with my husband. Like, I could easily, and I admittedly am not always great. I mean, there are nights where I will be on my laptop almost until we go to bed. And I've really had to check myself many times and be like, no, you gotta, like, there has to be a balance here. Everything here is equally important. It's a lot of self-awareness with a lot of those things too. It's really planning ahead for sure. I mean, I also have content calendars. I have blogs, you know, even social posts and things I want to talk about plan months in advance usually. Mm-hmm. So those types of just tools that I've put together myself, nothing fancy at all, really, have been a godsend just to keep me, you know, on the right path as far as, okay, this has to go out. Then if this is going out first, then you got to work on this and nails and all of the things. I definitely have realized the more I can plan ahead and batch tasks as well. So work on social at one point, work on email for an hour, work on a blog for an hour, and not jump around too much. That is another huge, not a revolutionary tip, but it's, you know, it's important, because the jumping around definitely can affect productivity too.
So those are phenomenal, of your process of integrating everything, because it can become overwhelming if you let it. But I agree with the batching. Like, if you're jumping around, like, oh, I need to do a post for here, but I need to film a video, but I need to do this, and but then I got to get to work. Like, so, and then I need to spend time with my husband. Like, those factors really play such a big part, but I love that you're able to really focus in on that. And, you know, it's a work in progress too. When business starts taking off more, you have to allocate more time to that area versus other things, because you have clients and you have work and you have relationships and just taking care of yourself too. Like, I love that you get outside on a walk. I think that changes our whole dynamic. I just had a conversation recently about that, and because I'm a firm believer in that as well. my fiance will be like, it's time to like go on a walk. Like, you need a break, because he's an entrepreneur too. Like, we have to like check each other sometimes. But I think it's such a beautiful thing when you're able to just get fresh air and your mind like feels so much better. It's a common tip, but it's like, it works.
So underrated. Like, it's almost like some people can't hear it enough, but I swear, like, it's so important. I get some of my best ideas, like between the shower and my walk. I am like, they're the two things I got to do every day. Right? Like, you know, another thing I do, I listen to podcasts. I listen to things that really inspire me. And I didn't listen to podcasts as much when I was first grieving. I honestly didn't get into them until like the last couple of years, frankly, but I'm so glad I did. And you find the right people, right? Just like you. And and so that, and also, you know, reading, it's so hard, especially like as an entrepreneur, or if you are juggling multiple projects, or you have to work and then you have your side hustle and whatever it is, to even fit in time to read. But I will say, like, definitely in my early days of grieving, especially, I found it really hard to focus on reading, very hard, because my brain was clearly occupied with other things I was going through. But, you know, I don't want to say like I forced myself to do it, but I did, but I was really strategic with what I read. And, you know, Untamed by Glennon Doyle was probably the first book I read shortly after my dad passed, and I was still going through my breakup. And it's just finding those things that give you those aha moments. Just those little aha moments every once in a while, and along the way, it just gives you a little bit of hope, and you're like, oh, I can do this. Okay. There's little glimmers out there. And that's like, that's what I want to do with my course. That's what I want to show people, and, you know, giving people the tools and the resources to do that. And, you know, you might not have these, you know, big magical come to Jesus moments every day, but, you know, just with those little things, whether or not you even realize they're happening, you do begin to feel a shift in your mindset. And again, it's just keeping your mind open when it can be very close, just allowing that flow to come into your life a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the flow is important. And I love that's what you really embody, is the losses are gains. And I know you said earlier the cliche of like, oh, everything happens for a reason. I say that, but I think it's like there's that saying too, where like life is happening for us, not to us.
Yes. That's one of my favorite expressions. I literally posted something about that too. That's so funny you say that. That's so serendipitous.
We're aligned.
Oh my God, so much alignment happening. No, it's so true. And it's just like, yeah, things are happening for me, not to me. And funny enough, I actually first heard that in a workout video. She was like, remember, things are happening for you. And I was like, okay, but it motivated me. But I was like, wow, this really applies to a lot of different aspects of life. So that is kind of the essence of losses become gains. It's just like, and for me, the gains aspect of that is a more fulfilled, vibrant, beautiful, open, vulnerable life after loss. And it's all about figuring out ways to get there and make that happen for yourself, and feeling empowered to do that and to take your power back and sort of not allow your loss to completely overcome, which it can so easily do. And that's understandable. But if we've lost anybody, we know time is limited. And, you know, it's as much as death is a part of life, like our quality of life is paramount. So that's really my bread and butter.
Yeah. And, you know, no one like teaches you how to grieve. It's not something that, I mean, maybe it should be taught in school. There's a lot of things that I would change about the school system, coming mm-hmm. from two family, like my parents are both educators, both retired now, but I think it's a fact of life of just, you don't really know how to handle certain things and like cope with your emotions unless you're taught. It's not something so common. And that's why I love that you have this course, what you're doing in this world, to really bring just awareness to knowing the fact that your emotions are valid, your experiences are valid. It's how do you cope with that? How do you maneuver life in a new way that's going to be beneficial to you? Mm-hmm. And feel empowered and feel like that you can do this, because you absolutely can. You might not feel like that in the moment, and that's okay. You can have your moments. You can really sit in it, soak in it, be there, be present with that emotion, but not staying stuck there as well. And that's the big part of it.
I couldn't have said it better. That's literally what it, yeah, that's what it is. Cause I did, I mean, that's really where a lot of this came from. And the recognition of that is, like, I say it all the time. I'm like, that's what I ask people. I'm like, are you feeling stuck and isolated and alone in this process? Cause you know, it's so hard, especially when you don't have people around you that really understand or even can empathize or are willing to empathize, again, because grief is such a taboo topic for so many people. And it is not something that we are very equipped with or learn very much in schools, which, yes, I definitely have thoughts and feelings about. But yeah, there is no grieving 101. And we do kind of have to be like our own grief coach a little bit sometimes. With my husband, he has two very happy, healthy parents and can really in no way relate to anything I've been through. So there are absolutely times where that's why I say to take our power back, so to speak, and to feel empowered to get accustomed to our grief and get to know it and really like say hello to it is so important, because there are so many times where we might not have a grief coach with us, or we might not have someone who can kind of, we can lean on in that moment. So much of that has to come from within here. And that's why the mindset part is so important, and to understand what is happening when we are having these grief bursts, or what is happening when our shock or whatever it is overcoming us or getting the best of us, and be able to talk ourselves down a little bit and feeling, knowing in our heart that we are so capable of that. And it's just having the tools and the right ways to do it.
It starts with us, but it, like, and I think too, something I just wanted to highlight is it's okay to ask for help.
Yes. And
knowing that, like, there are resources available. You can do it on your own through the course, but then you're not alone. You have a coaching call in addition to that, or one-to-one. But I think that's the biggest thing sometimes, when I've just heard stories where people don't feel comfortable talking about it with their immediate family, or feel like, okay, well, it's time to move on, when they're not ready to move on. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. Just to preface, but knowing that it's okay to ask for help, it shows a vulnerability and a strength. Like Brené Brown says, it's not a weakness, but I've just heard so many stories, the act of going and getting help where it's necessary, and just knowing that you're not the only person that's going to be experiencing grief, but your journey is going to be unique to you, but you don't have to be alone in doing it. So yeah. I just wanted to share that because I think it's important.
I couldn't have said it better. It's one of those things. And that's it. I mean, I heard this analogy once where grief is going to come and knock on your door. It will let itself in. It will put yourself on your calendar, and you cannot postpone or change or cancel it. And it is a normal and natural part of life, just as birth is. So it's, and we're not meant to kind of like understand immediately how to cope with it. I mean, we are maybe with these people, or, you know, whoever that we've lost from possibly an early age, or they maybe just had a really big impact on our life. And absolutely, it's okay to get help with that. It's hard, especially through all of the like A's, and you're trying to understand what is even going on in your mind, to talk to somebody to help make sense of it, or just to validate a little bit of what you're feeling. And like, you know, I think I know so many people I talk to are scared that what they're feeling isn't normal, or it's like a little bit weird or whatever it is. And it's probably not. Having like a little bit of, I don't want to say humor with it, being able to not make light of our grief, but just allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to smile amongst it, because I know there's a lot of guilt and regret that can come with grief as well. I've been through it. That is a whole nother topic, but just there's so many different emotions, and it's something we get way into in the course as well. We go through countless emotions and how to handle all of them, but can take a while. And that's why the course is a great resource for that, because sometimes it might hit you in certain moments, or what you might be feeling today is not what you're going to be feeling even moments from now or tomorrow. And it is, the last thing I'll say is, it is so much more than like the five stages of grief, right? And of the that was very of the time, great for what it was then. But so I'm thankful that the grief space has now kind of evolved to know that there are so many more layers to it than that. It is beyond the five stages. It doesn't have to happen in that order and all the things. So, but the connection part of it, I get a lot of people saying like, I feel very isolated, I feel very lonely, and there's so many people that understand it, I promise.
Yes. And I'm glad you're out there doing the work. And I'm just curious, what are maybe, since you've started your entrepreneurial journey, what have been maybe like the two top tips you could give us on your journey that you've learned thus far?
Man, I talked about this a little bit so far, but just being very realistic, with a few things. I guess one is just with growth. I mean, it is, again, it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's great to have goals and to set those goals. That's amazing. That's important. But also just like really do what speaks to your heart and really let your intuition guide as well and not be fearful of that. I think there are so many things I'm queen of overthinking. I get in my head a lot. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs can sometimes fall into that trap. And it's good to be critical of things, sure, and to think analytically about it, but definitely allowing, again, the flow to come in and to really be able to like, maybe just sit in silence for a minute or take a step back from the laptop. I have to do this all the time and be like, okay, what is really the goal of what I am writing about? Or what is the goal of putting this out into the world? And how is it going to serve other people? I think that's another huge part of it. That's kind of adjacent to number one. So I guess it's kind of my number two is really just being, I don't even want to say customer facing or customer service, cause I don't know that I like that, but it's just how are you going to serve humanity? You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to serve your fellow humans and how are you going to enrich and add value to the life of other people? And the way in which we do that is certainly important. And making sure that we, you know, just leading with others first and, you know, and then our head and our heart and our creativity, and all of that sort of a close second, I would say.
Those are really good. And I think those are important too, because a lot of times, just to speak to the first aspect of being realistic of the timeline, the energy, everything that is embodied in entrepreneurship, because we can have a goal in mind, but it might take us like double the amount of time. Like now I've learned to double that goal. I'm like, okay, I want to get this done in a month. Okay, it's going to be 2 months because of just how many things you run into that you don't even know are going to unfold. But that's kind of similar to grief in a way. You don't know what's going to unfold until you start doing the work. And just like with entrepreneurship, I think it really is like, you don't know what's going to happen. You can set the goals, but there's left curves and it's just like, you're like, what just happened? But it's part of that process. And that's where I think things do unfold because they're happening for us. Like we might feel stuck in something. And like, this is what I'm getting from what you said too. It's like, we might be stuck somewhere, but it's being able to look at it, the clearer picture of, okay, this is what's going on. How can we move forward with this? All right. It's not happening the first day I opened up business, it's not accumulating so much. Wait, what's going on? Well, no, it might need a little bit more time.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I put so many nails on the head there, yeah.
I think just everything we've talked about too, I think it's just a really crucial topic that doesn't have a lot of limelight when it comes to grief, because it is taboo, it's messy, it's not everyone's favorite topic to talk about or anyone's favorite topic.
Like we don't maybe want to live in our grief, you know what I mean? No. But to avoid it is not an option either. That's why I designed the course the way that I did. There are days where you might feel more griefy and more into it and like, okay, let me check this out and see what's in here. And then there are other days where you're just like, I can't be bothered today. And that's fine. And no one's forcing you, you know, but it's like having that there, or just course aside, just being able to allow the grief to flow as it needs to, let the grief first come, let the triggers happen, because the more that they do happen, the more you will understand how to cope with them. And it hurts in the moment. It is so painful. Grief is not fun. It is not fun feeling sad all the time. It is not fun feeling lost and scared and all of the things, but it is possible to have a day-to-day life where it is integrated into it. And there are more brighter days than those days with that gray cloud hanging over your head. And so it's like, if that's the only inspiration I can impart today, then I'm happy.
There was a lot of inspiration. And just even to your point of it's feedback, when we have triggers of any kind, it's feedback. And like you said, it so beautifully of just when something's happening, you might not want that to happen again, but now you have that information and it's feedback of how you can move forward with it. And that's what I think everything you embody and what you've been putting out in the world with all your blogs, the writing, and now the course, and eventually with clients too, more clients, being able to help in that journey, because it is, the more we talk about things, the more we can really understand it versus avoid it, because that's probably the worst thing we can do if we allow it to continue to avoid. It's okay to avoid for a little bit, I think.
But. Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, the thing is we cannot like mentally and physically live in our grief 24/7. It is, I mean, we'd be catatonic on the bed if we did. Yeah. So yeah, it's all about finding that balance, which can be very hard to find, especially in the early days, and especially not even just in the early days, maybe you just are having a really bad day sometimes and you're like, you don't even know which way is up. And that happens too. And it's just about it, embracing that and be like, okay, but it's all little bits of learning and growing and evolving. And that is like all what I'm about. And again, encouraging that it is possible and looking at our grief that way, and not that you have to do it immediately, or like, especially if it's a newer loss, like that is very difficult to see, but just knowing, so many people are like, well, you're on the other side of it and it's easy for you to say, and there's no other side really. I think it's more just like, we're all at different levels of how our grief has been incorporated into our life. And that's really what it comes down to.
And Tara, before I let you go, where can people find you, find your course? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah. So really I'm mainly at Losses Become Gains on Instagram, definitely on there, on Facebook as well. Both those handles, and LossesBecomeGains.com is where you can, you know, you can contact me if you have to, or you would like to. Course is on there. Blog is on there. Truly like everything lives on LossesBecomeGains.com. And if you would like to reach out and email me, it's just LossesBecomeGains@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much, Tara, for being so transparent and vulnerable with your journey, how you got here today. I know there's been a lot of ups and downs and so many losses, but so many gains too, because you get to help so many more people now that have been where you're at, and you continue to grow and help others move through it. But thank you so much for your energy, your time, and again, your vulnerability today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Tara today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment. And we will see you on the next episode.